And a pleasant good afternoon to everyone, and welcome to Fans of the Pro. My host, Deuce McAllister. Big show lined up for you all the way until 6 o'clock when it's kickoff with Boomer and Vellante. No Brian Kelly show this week. Then it's the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup, and bring your parkas and your rain jackets and your umbrellas tonight. It is not going to be pretty. We'll be speaking with Andrew Lopez, Pelican sideline reporter for the Gulf Coast Sports and Entertainment Network. We're going to have to maybe find an acronym for that, huh?
I'm going
to
say GCSEN.
We'll work on that. But glad to have him on board. Let's put it that way. As the Pelicans had their media day this week, and now they're at camp. And then Dannon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, color analyst for the Kansas City Chiefs radio. We'll talk to him about 5:20. Also in the show, we'll be speaking with Jay Romig, one of the most popular people at Saints camp, always has been, and they're getting ready for the Hall of Fame induction luction, and I just wanted to kind of get everybody up to speed with that. And it is a very not pretty Friday. We've had actually pretty good Fridays on tap, but for high school footballers, and I know the man across from me will be doing a game tonight, it will not be pleasant. But the games will be fun. It's just, you got to dress accordingly.
Put your mutters on and go.
Yeah.
Put your mutters on and go. I mean, hey.
You just don't have an excuse. You just go. You know what I mean?
Nobody wants to hear it. No, I mean, if
you're right.
If you're able to play, go play. Go play. You only get so many opportunities. So you have to go and enjoy it as best as possible. And I don't want to hear, well, the ball was wet, or, you know, my glove. Take the glove off.
Come on, Dad, man.
Take the glove off.
Wet.
Yeah, take the glove off. Get the right shoes. Get your right footing. I don't want to hear no coach wants to hear an excuse.
Right. Is this one of those busy football weekends for you? Because you have the actual opportunity to go like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Very few people have that.
That's normally every week.
Right.
This week, no.
Because we travel.
That part. But I will miss a game on Monday. And as soon as we get back, we got a game. And so, this week the only reason not is because we travel.
Right. So the Saints had their injury report today. Nothing. It's the only difference is that the really first report came out yesterday, because they're a day. Just pretend like, so Wednesday was a walkthrough, and then just slide a day, right? Today is Friday. It's really the Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Right. If you can just do that in your head, you'll be much better, because they have tomorrow, and they travel on Sunday, and game on Monday night. So it feels like there's a lot of time, but there really isn't. So let's just discuss the DNPs who have been DNPs. Willie Gay, Taysom Hill, Cesar Ruiz, Shane Lemieux, Peyton Turner. They were DMPs to start. They have not practiced. Would it be a surprise? Ankle, I'm just looking at the injuries. I mean, would it be a surprise if any of those guys played?
Well, you still have Friday. Tomorrow's the day.
Right.
So since today is Thursday.
So we're just going to do it like that? Tomorrow you still have Friday?
No, it's Friday is the final day. If they
tomorrow
haven't practiced, yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday, which is Friday.
That's what I'm saying. I'll do it with whatever you want to do. We'll do tomorrow being Friday.
No, and so technically today's show should have been tomorrow's show, and it would have been all correct. But
you know,
since
I'm
you have
the plane
bonus,
now, man, for sure.
Since you have the, no, you won't. Since you have the bonus day, technically it's tomorrow's practice, and I expect maybe one of those guys to be a limited participant, and then that gives them the chance to be able to play on Monday.
So as Charlie said in his sports break, the newest one was the addition of Lucas Patrick with a groin today. He did not practice. He was not on the injury list. So if you just kind of go, all right, Lucas Patrick, Fuaga has a back and a knee. Now, he's been limited both days. But then you got Shane Lemieux, who was your center. Ruiz, I feel like one more week for him. But now you're talking about Lemieux, Fuaga, and Lucas Patrick.
And now it makes sense for the pickup that you had.
Yep, Connor.
Of Connor. McGovern,
yep.
Who basically, I think he was on the Jets practice squad. Now it makes sense. He's a player also that your offensive line coach has coached. So for him to be able to step in and whether it's guard, center, emergency center, whatever way, direction they go, it kind of helps in that sense, just because you have your other two guys that would probably play that position possibly not available.
So I guess put this into perspective for me. He's played. He was out of Missouri, and he, you know, with practice squad with the Jets. So he's
played with Dallas. He's played with Dallas as well.
It's Friday in our world. He just gets signed. How difficult is it for him to come in and not start, but just be help? How hard is that?
Since he's been with the coaches before, an offensive line wants to hear two or three words. Those two or three words may be a little different from him, from where he was before. But if it's gap scheme, it's gap scheme.
Right.
If it's zone scheme, it's zone scheme. Now, you may have a word or a color that makes it live for me, but a lot of that, I can give you that information. And so for him, now where you start getting a little tricky is even on some screen calls, hey, you know, this screen, look for this. This is what we probably will run. And even a center or a guard will go up to him and, hey, you know, once the play is called, the quarterback will go up to him and, hey, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I want you to look for. And then you break the huddle.
Watching the All-22 after the Atlanta game, and you have turned me into just an offensive line junkie because I've just, you know, I know how much you focus on it. It's just I just find myself, and I never probably watched that area as much as I should have, following the ball to begin with. But, watching Patrick at guard, tapping Shane Lemieux at center. I mean, all that was new. But it felt like, and Dennis said, it just felt like this O-line, given what it was up against, held their own.
Well, they held on because you've got to deal with crowd noise. Because if the quarterback can't get the ball, you can't even be in the shotgun. You can't even be in the shotgun. And so you got to deal with crowd noise. And that was why it made so much sense to have Shane Lemieux at center, because now I have a guy, Lucas Patrick, who has played left guard that can help him. If you go back and you remember, it was Cesar Ruiz who is the guy that helps and makes that snap call, looks at the quarterback. Now he knows the quarterback is ready. He's going to give the call to McCoy, whether it's on one, whether it's on two, whether it's a dummy snap, whether it's a dummy hitch. All of that goes into play. And so you can make it as simple as possible, or you can get really deep in the weeds with it. But at the end of the day, I want my guys to be able to play fast. And with crowd noise on the road, I don't need my tackles guessing, particularly when I have two young tackles already. So you don't want to go too deep in it, but you've got to be able to slow those defensive linemen down as well, you know, just with my head bob. I mean, there were two snaps, remember, that the ball got moved.
Right,
that
Ryan
that
Doozle
was called by Atlanta.
I saw the first one. I didn't see much on the
second
one.
Well, it doesn't take a lot. Right. It's just a rock in it.
Yeah.
And, or you re-spot it, and the refs will call that. And so a lot goes into it, but, I mean, there's some words, some letters I can give to Connor, and he practiced today, that you can give to him that'll help speed up the process. Because, like I said, toss, gap, trio, I'm going blank on some of the calls for your offensive linemen. Rip, Liz, Sally. I mean, you can go. It's Roger, Cat. I mean, you can go down the line, but I mean, a lot of it he can pick up just based off letters.
Got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the roster spot that the Saints created today as they signed Connor McGovern. We'll also talk Pelicans in a little bit with Andrew Lopez with the Pelicans, who are on and out of town for their preseason. This is Fans in the Pro. Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister, back after this here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister, getting you ready for a Saints football weekend. That'll be a long weekend. Monday night in Kansas City against the 4-0 Kansas City Chiefs. We went to break talking about the new offensive lineman, Connor McGovern, who they signed. They released their sixth-round draft pick from last year, A.T. Perry, who had not been on the field this year. He was injured toward the end of camp, and then he was a healthy scratch, and it just has not worked out. So they didn't put him on IR. They just flat out released him today.
I can't say that it's surprising. I want A.T. to be very successful in this league, and I hope that he gets the opportunity to go and show what he can do in this league. But man, this is one of the toughest things when you're a young player. You got to treat it like a job. And so, not to say that he was late for meetings, or he was, to my knowledge, you know, there was no late for meetings. I think he's a good young man. I don't think he's a bad person. I don't think he's a locker room issue or anything like that. It's just, I got to treat it like a job, because sometimes I think I can just go and play, and there's a little bit more that has to happen besides just going and play.
Because he's got a unique set, right? He's 6'5", 205, so he's a big cat. He caught a 58-yarder in preseason week one in Arizona, and only had 12 receptions last year, but four of them were for touchdowns. But it just, you know, got to be on the field, and so we'll have to wait and see. And we had talked about this during camp, if the Saints would keep five or six wide receivers, and they kept six, which is a lot, right? And he was one of them.
Well, but it's a lot because of the offense.
Right.
I mean, because this is not a team that's going to live in a lot of 11 or three receiver sets or four receiver sets. This team is probably going to be more 12, more 21. And that's just because of how the offense is built. And so you knew when they kept six, it's like, that's interesting. Because there may be situations or games. I think there's already been a game where they only dressed four,
right?
Four receivers.
Because he was one of them that was out.
And I'm just, you know, that normally doesn't happen in the NFL, and so hopefully it comes together for him. We'll just have to see what, you know, from an injury standpoint, from everything else, we'll just have to see what happens.
Won't spend a lot of time. Did you watch the game last night?
Yes, I didn't watch all of it. I missed. I guess the I call them chip shots. Was it two that missed?
Young Wei Koo missed.
So he missed two field goals.
He missed it from, I think it was 49 at first. 49 at first, and so
a 40 and a 49.
And they had a penalty, so he moved up five. So I think it was 49-42.
We call them chip shots.
Heck yeah.
In the NFL.
He missed the first one, and I was in a public place, and I'm not going to get too deep, but I lost my blah. And then they move him up five, and he hooked it again.
Oh, wait. So he missed one field goal, or he missed two?
Back to back.
He kicked two field goals, yes. But only one counted.
Yeah, right. They were going to kick the first one. Huh?
Well, I know one was blocked. We knew one was blocked. I saw the block one.
Right.
But I missed the back-to-back kicks, I guess is what I'm saying.
Wasn't it a penalty, Charlie?
Yeah, and then it got moved up, and he missed the second one.
So he got moved up five. Like, he missed the first one, got moved up five. I'm like, you guys are playing with fire. Hey, I ain't never seen this cat miss two.
No.
Wasn't even close.
I was like, who is that guy?
Wow. Go find out who's in number six, because it's not young Wei Koo.
Because it was a 50-plus right there at the end of the game.
He nails
it. I told you, I mean, when we saw him kicking our eyes, it's like, man, Mike, I seen this guy kicking him from 60. There's no way that he's missing this little. And we both had said, well, he's never kicked one from beyond 54. Man, that ball would have made from 63, 64 yards.
All right, we got to take a break. But as we do, just because I want to answer, there's a texter. We cleared the space initially for A.T. Perry to get Davante Adams.
You say you're going to break, right?
Yeah, okay. We'll talk more. We're going to flip the tune a little bit. Going to talk a little Pelicans. We'll talk more about the same situation, of course, with Kansas City. We'll talk with Andrew Lopez. They are off and running. The Pelicans are back after this. Fans in the Pro here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. Mike Costas, McAllister. Don't forget, all of your Pelicans games can be heard right here this season. So we're looking forward to two seasons with the Saints and the Pelicans. The Pelicans off for training camp. They had a beautiful media day on Monday. Deuce was there with Newell, and Andrew Lopez is the Pelican sideline reporter for the Gulf Coast Sports and Entertainment Network, joins us now. Andrew, welcome to the show. Things got to be just, kind of eager to get things going.
Yeah, it's kind of funny being on this side of things. You get to a practice or two, and now all of a sudden I'm really Really can't wait for the regular season to start. I know we got some preseason games coming up here starting Monday, or Orlando Magic at 12:30 at the Smoothie King Center. But really can't wait to see how these guys look against another team after this week.
Andrew, what has it been like the first couple of days since you guys have been up in Nashville? And I know one of the not-so-good moments happened with Trey Murphy and the hamstring. But what has it been like so far?
It's been fun to see the guys kind of get away and really kind of get up and down. Had 2 days the first couple of nights. Had one practice yesterday. Guys were off today. Some of them, I'm sure, went and got a little bit of work in. But you see the energy. You see the emphasis that the team is putting on threes this season. It's been nice. They've been some drills that have kind of lent themselves to that. But it's nice to see these guys kind of get up and down, get back, you know, get into rhythm. But you can see how, you know, the team is going to play a little bit faster this year, get some more threes up on that side while still wreaking havoc on the defensive end. Daniel Tice told reporters yesterday, you know, he thinks top 10 is too low of a goal. He thinks his team needs to be top 5 on defense. I think that's a good goal to have.
When you look at this squad overall, I mean, obviously you feel like that you have some different pieces and how they fit, but just talk a little bit about a young guy, Jordan Hawkins, you know, and how over the preseason, or not over the summer, not necessarily preseason, probably played more point guard. And I don't know if that's really his natural spot, but at least, you know, maybe there's a role for him, a couple minutes a game for him to be able to do it. But we know one thing he can do, and that's shoot the cover off of it. And just talk a little bit about that and his growth for year two.
Yeah, in the summer league, he had to kind of shift down, but that was more because of a couple of injuries that the summer league team had going into Vegas. So it kind of changed exactly how you wanted to do stuff. And you're right, that's kind of not his natural position. His natural position is shooting guard, because as you said, the one thing he can do is shoot that thing. And I think, I want to say it was Wednesday night's practice. It felt like he couldn't miss. It felt like everything he was going, he was putting up shot after shot, and he was on fire. And, you know, when he can get going like that, as we saw in the early part of last season, it's, you know, he could be a real contributor to this team. And, you know, as the team wants to get more threes up, you got to put guys on the court that can make them. And Jordan Hawkins certainly fits that mold.
Andrew, we kind of know I'll call them the first six, maybe first seven. But yeah. Has there been any indication that you'll see 9 guys, maybe 10 guys, you know, knock on wood if somebody's banged up or maybe on a back-to-back. But do we have any indication of what that rotation may look like, particularly with that second unit?
Not quite yet. We may get a good look at that on Monday. Obviously, without Trey Murphy, as you mentioned, who's going to be reevaluated in 3 weeks because of the, you know, a slight hamstring strain that he suffered in one of the practices. So I think we'll get there. I think there's probably a good strong 7 if you include Trey. Probably 7, maybe 8 guys that could start any game, and you could feel comfortable with those guys. After that, you really have, when you look at maybe 8 through 14, 8 through 15, it's a bunch of guys who could, and maybe if you know, there may be some rotation-level guys who aren't getting on the court as much just because there's a lot of guys who could play in front of them. Now, obviously, you look at a guy like Jose Alvarado, who I think in that fifth practice, that Thursday practice, had maybe his best practice of training camp. You know, he's kind of stood out. Obviously, you know, you got to figure out the who's going to get the backup 5 minutes. Is that going to be Carlo Mackovich early? Is that going to be Misi early? That could kind of be a battle we see. I think Javonte Green is a guy who's going to come in and really compete for some minutes. And obviously, you mentioned Hawk. So I think all of those guys are going to be, you know, fighting for time on that second unit, and we'll see how it goes.
So, Andrew, Mike Haas, and I apologize for the girth of this question, and this comes from a complete fan. I think Zion looks great, right? You know, I mean, I think he looks good, and, you know, he's one of those rare players that when he wants to score, he is going to drive to the bucket. And he might not score, but he's going to get hammered, he's going to get fouled, or he's going to score. But that just takes such a toll. When he got hurt last year, it was a drive. And injured his hamstring. I'm just, again, from the outside of a fan, because he's a good shooter, does he need a kind of a baby jumper, some shot that he can perfect so that he doesn't have to just get hammered so much going to the lane? Because, quite frankly, they don't call it all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you mentioned he's going to get hacked, you're right, he is going to get hacked. It's just a matter of if they call it, because we've seen that a lot where he goes down and there is no call. And I think going back to last season, he played 70 games. He looked as healthy as he was up until the playing game when he suffered that against the Lakers, and it was just a tough injury. But I think that in itself has motivated him to say, hey, look, they do need a little bit. They're going to encourage him to get a little bit, to get some more jumpers up. They're going to encourage him to get some mid-range shots in, maybe some floaters, not always try and just force his way to the rim, but it's hard to tell a guy who averages 24 points a game, don't do what works for you. And that has worked for him because he can get to that left hand whenever he wants. He can dunk it. He can lay it up off the glass. He's got so many different angles that he gets where he can get some spin on the ball. He is elite at what he does and finishing around the rim. But if that next step, that jumper is going to come. He's being encouraged to take it. And we'll see how it works out. But, you know, for now, it's hard to tell a guy who's getting 20, 25 a game to change it up. But I think we'll start to see it maybe just a little bit. We'll see how the early season goes.
Andrew, we know you guys have the game on Monday. So you guys will leave Nashville tomorrow night or Sunday morning?
Sunday. They're going to do practice Saturday, practice Sunday, leave after practice on Sunday.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Well, the only other question I have for you, are you getting any sleep yet? And how's my friend doing? And you know exactly who I'm talking about.
She is great. She's probably not getting as much sleep as I am. I am doing great. This is probably more sleep than I'll get in a while once I get back and deal with my 6-month pregnant wife, who is
that's exactly right.
Getting our house together, getting everything ready down there. She is doing great. And I'm sure she will be thrilled that you asked about her on the air.
Yeah, I mean,
First off, thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, Andrew. He knew exactly who I was referring to. He knew exactly who I was referring to. And so I'm glad. Congratulations, man. I'm super proud for you. I'm amped for you guys. And I can't believe she let you go on the road like that. But that's a whole nother conversation off air.
Hey, I it's going to cost me when I get back. Trust me.
Andrew, best of luck, man. It's going to be an interesting Monday. Orlando and the Pelicans early, and then the Saints in Kansas City late. So safe travels, and can't wait to talk to you when you get back.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Andrew Lopez, Pelican sideline reporter, back after this. This is Fans in the Pro here on WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, joined by Jay Romig with the New Orleans Saints in year 47. What year, Jay?
48, Michael.
Oh, my goodness. First off, we could have a discussion about your title, and you're going to give it to us, but basically you're Mr. Everything. If somebody needs something done, luggage, ticket, credential, whatever.
Operation of building.
Right. You are the man. What is your title?
It's, senior administrative director director.
Hey, he makes it happen. That's right. Who he is.
He's
Jay
Romig.
If you have a question about the New Orleans Saints, call Jay. Jay, if he doesn't know the answer, hey, give me 1 second. Let me just look at this. And you probably still use a Rolodex, Jay. I mean, do you trust the phone? Do you trust the phone completely?
I have cards. I have a lot of cards.
Yeah, that's the Rolodex.
He's got the George Costanza wallet.
Yeah.
So we're talking October 17th. It's a big day. I mean, it's always a huge day every year. Saints Hall of Fame and the Saints Hall of Fame Gala now available. That's, you know, just Drew Brees going in for the luncheon on the 17th at the Hilton Riverside at 2 Poydras Street. Also Doug Moreau. Wow, the Joe Gemelli Florida Lee winner. Those two people, just from a character standpoint, speak volumes for this organization. So it's coming up, right? I mean, everything's in order. What do you need? How can we be of service?
Well, it's the Thursday, as we know, of the Thursday night game against the Denver Broncos. It's going to be an exciting day. We've seen Drew a couple of times in the last couple of games, and he is excited. He's going to have his family here, and it'll be a big day. So he'll be inducted at lunchtime. At the luncheon, he'll give his induction speech, and then later that night at the game, once again, he'll be presented at halftime, and he'll be able to say a few words to the fans in the stadium. But the luncheon is, like I said, 12 noon at the Grand Ballroom of the Hilton Riverside, and tickets are available. They're $150 each, or you can buy a table of 10, or you can buy a single ticket or two tickets, but We do have tickets, and you can get on the Saints Hall of Fame website, saintshalloffame.com. And for more ticket information, you can go to our website. We have a link to the Saints Hall of Fame, or you can get on the Saints Hall of Fame website. And also, you can get the number. You can call 504-471-2192 for different information about tickets. But it's going to be an exciting day. Doug Morrow is fantastic. He's been the press box announcer for the 27 years at Superdome for the Saints. He's from a storied athletic family here in the area. He graduated from De La Salle. You know, his brother was the athletic director and baseball coach at Jesuit High School. He's been a longtime teacher at Christian Brothers, and he's a well-deserving award, you know, for the Florida Joe Gemelli Florida Lee Award. And of course, Drew's the first unanimous selection for the Hall of Fame that we've ever had. So that's, you know, that, which is a no-brainer, but so it's going to be exciting for that day for Drew.
And you talked a little bit about the event, but I mean, there'll be silent auctions and some other things that people can, when you go online, you can look and see some of the stuff that'll be available as well, correct?
There'll be a few. There won't be that many things due to this event, because we have later in the year, we have our gala, which is the weekend of the, it's in November 16th, Saturday, November 16th. And that's the night before the I believe it's the Cleveland. Let's see, I think it's the Cleveland Browns.
That'd be Jari Evans going in, right?
Jari Evans is going in the Ring of Honor that night. Yeah. So that's fantastic. Jari's already in the Hall of Fame. Jari is a candidate again for the Professional Football Hall of Fame this year, which he fell a little bit short last year. And we hope it's this year. I kind of was joking with him the other day when, you know, we have the offensive line problems, with the injuries right now. We're trying to work through that. I said, Jari, if you come back out of retirement and to play on the offensive line this year, and you lead us to the Super Bowl, that'll be two Super Bowl wins. You will definitely get in the Hall of Fame, and Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he kind of smiles and says, I can't do it, Jay. I wish I could, but he's great. And that day he'll go into the Ring of Honor. So at the stadium. So that's going to be fantastic. But that event will be a big time deuce. Different things to bid on and to auction items, and 20 restaurants catered by 20 different restaurants. That's at the Chateau Country Club, and we can talk about more about that down the line as it gets closer to that game. But there will be a couple of items available for. For auction items at this event. But the big thing is to hear Drew speak, to hear Doug speak, Mrs. Benson will speak. They'll have presenters. They'll have a presenter present each one. We're still waiting. Drew hasn't told us who his presenter will be, but we're looking forward to that. And Doug, I think Doug has, I'm not sure who his presenter is too, but it'll be a great luncheon. Food will be great, and it'll be a fun day. And then later that night, of course, the game against the Broncos.
Yeah. So they can just Hall of Fame, go to the Hall of Fame website. They can get all the information about tickets.
Yes, sir. Yeah, the Hall of Fame.com. And or call the 504-471-2192. We do have some tables and tickets available still, but we'd love, try to fill it up as much as we can.
All right, my friend. Anything that you need, you just give us a call. We appreciate that. We'll talk to you as we head our way to Kansas City on Monday night. But thanks for your time. Yep. Jay Romer.
Thank you, guys, very much.
The director of everything. That should be his card. Just director of everything. VP, executive director of everything. Just the best. And Derek and all those guys in that part of the organization. The news is next. Fans in the Pro will continue after this. Welcome back for our final hour here on Fans in the Pro. No Brian Kelly show. LSU is off. They will take on the Rebels of Ole Miss next week. But we will have kickoff with Boomer and Vellante coming up at 6. And, of course, it's the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. And as we're starting to get deep into the season, October, then we get into the playoffs. And it just gets so much more exciting. Weather is not great Tonight, also want to thank all the good folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our Sports Talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine. Dine in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salad. MagazinePizza.com. Chris Jones. Watching him on, just as a play-by-play, watching him on film is not fun. I can't imagine that there's a guy who's, you know, he's a veteran. He's not, you know, he's been around. What year is he, ninth year?
Chris is probably his ninth year. This is probably his eighth or ninth year. Mississippi State, Houston Hilltoppers. The Houston Hilltoppers. Five-star recruit. Blew up at probably two camps. Three camps. Not even camps. I'm sorry. All-star games. And you could not block him. A lot has not changed for Chris Jones.
I was going to say, that's not good, right?
He is one of the only linemen. Now, there's some other guys that could do it or you do it with. Aaron Donald was probably one of them. But Chris Jones is one of the only, a handful of linemen that can line up at the nose guard. Me and Mike talked about this, our other Mike, Detillier. We talked about this Wednesday. We will see Chris Jones line up at the nose guard, so he can line up directly over center, or he can be in a shade technique. Chris Jones will line up in the three technique, which is over the guard. He'll line up probably at a two eye, inside eye of the guard at some point. Chris Jones will line up as a five technique, and then he's going to line up as a seven and a nine, and all of those are defensive end positions. He will line up on the left side. He will line up on the right side. He is hunting a mismatch. They move him to every defensive line position. He is hunting a mismatch. And they do a good job of it because you can normally you can always say, hey, look, we're going to double to 95. If he's lined up at the nose, my center and guard. The center tells whichever guard to come and he's pulling him with it. If he's going to line up on the right side, my guard and my right and my center, we're going to double. If he lines up at the defensive end over the right tackle, you can normally tell, hey, tight end and tackle.
But don't
you're
you
going
have to make
to
those decisions? If he moves, he lines up in a three eye and he moves, and now wherever your double team is going
to
be.
Well, if he slides, but it has to be, I mean, The offensive line, the whole line has to slide. So that's where the communication comes in about the offensive line, who you have available being on the same page. But, no, you do have to make those decisions. If he's on the left side, you know it's the center and the left guard. He's on the right side, yes. And then the quarterback can always check as well, and he can alert the back, the tight end, to we're sliding to number 95. But where I was going with it was – they do a good job defensively of ensuring that he gets the one-on-one. So if they put him over the tackle, they're going to line somebody up over your center or your guard, even if it's the linebacker that just walks up. Because once he walks up, that's basically telling the guy that's over him, he's engaged. That's my guy. Right tackle, I can't help you with number 95. The only way that you can kind of minimize that a little is with slide protection. But then teams are just going to figure out that's what you're doing, and now they're going to send an extra guy that you can't block or away from your slide. So you've got to play little games with him from a protection standpoint of how we're trying to slow him down. But if you don't know where 95 at on Monday night, Mike, me and you may just go get us some coffee, or we may get us some tea and
barbecue.
Just say, we're gonna have some of that anyway, but we're gonna have to have some extra because it is going to be a long night.
Well, if he's picking out, and I'm just playing kind of devil's advocate, because the Saints possibly could have three impacted offensive line positions. I mean, he's
going to take a, it's going to be like a piano. It's going to be bing, 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 bing. He's just going to be
just going to move around.
Just move around. That's exactly
so
what
how
it's
do you
be.
How do you combat that? Just quick, kind of back to the quick passing game. You can't, or do you run right at him? I mean, what do you do? Help me out. Make me feel. I got a couple of days to try to sleep before Kansas City.
The only way that you can combat it is hope that Chris is comfortable, because he will take some plays off. He will take a game off. There's been situations where it's like, hey, I'm just chilling. So you know how you say sometimes you don't poke the bear? Hopefully the bear isn't poked on Monday. They gave him a little bit more money. I mean, Chris Jones was a guy that, you know, basically set out.
Oh, yeah.
For contract-wise.
I mean, huge fines.
And they couldn't waive him because of where he was in the contract and negotiation. So, I think that he will probably be motivated because it's a Monday night game and he knows everybody will be watching. And then, to be honest, being from Mississippi, there are two teams that you're either pulling from for. New Orleans Saints or the Tennessee Titans.
Or Dallas, depending on where you are. So you got to be close.
Dallas and Pittsburgh have old school fans, right. And they have some.
But
some,
I get it.
Yeah,
Tennessee
but
and Saints.
It's normally Tennessee Titans and the Saints. That's most of your fan base. Now, he's from North Mississippi, so I don't know if he grew up a Tennessee Titan or a Saint fan, but we can just – you know, you can see a situation where he's mad that the Saints didn't draft him, so he just wanted to punish the Saints in a sense. I can see that happen as well.
I had a friend of mine, Laura Bucktel, who did weather, and she was the bear, and we never poked the bear. You never poke the bear. So whatever we have to do to Chris Jones, let us not poke the bear. Take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little deeper with Kansas City. We'll talk to Dannon Hughes. He's the former Chiefs wide receiver, also color analyst for KC Radio. That is coming up next. The 4-0 Chiefs, Monday Night Football, back here on Fans in the Pro, WWL AM-FM, and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. My host, Deuce McAllister. We are joined now by Dannon Hughes, who played wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs 1993 to 1998. He is now the color analyst for Chiefs Radio. Welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing fine right now. I guess, you know, maybe we have to wait until Monday night to see, you know. But all things considered, doing all right. And so it's funny, you know, you look at this Kansas City team, right? And so if I just handed you this sheet of paper and you said, all right, so turnovers on offense, 7, 28th in the league. Turnovers on defense, 3, 23rd in the league. Their turnover differential, minus 4, 29th. Scoring, 23, 14th. You know, they've got 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. The 5 picks are 30th in the league. If I said, what team is this? I don't think anybody would say Kansas City, but they are the epitome of find a way, anyway. They've been down, I think, in every game, and you just find a way. This is, if you're an other coach, you go, you want to see how it's done? This is how you finish.
Yeah, it is pretty weird, but actually, if you look back last year's Super Bowl run, there were a lot of not so bright points that were associated with the Chiefs in that Super Bowl run. The drops that we had as a wide receiving core, the giveaway, takeaway. Like, when I played under Marty Schottenheimer, like, we would never, ever be minus 11 in giveaway, takeaway. And I don't know if there's ever been a team that's ever made it maybe even to the playoffs or even to the Super Bowl with a giveaway takeaway at that level. But yet, as you mentioned, it's just about finding a way to win. And there have been teams around. You guys have been around for a while. I remember Deuce playing, and he's seen a lot of football as well. Like, there's just teams out there that figure out ways to win, and there's teams that figure out ways to lose. And I always like to throw a little playful jab to the interdivision rivalry, like the Chargers, who we beat. And last year, I'd say the last few years under Brendan Staley. Like, if they would have just figured out ways to win close games, he'd still be coaching there. They would have probably beaten the Chiefs several times during that run and during this Patrick Mahomes era. But it always seemed to get to a point where a game is close, fourth quarter comes around, might not be playing our best football, and then we just put something together and make something happen. And, like, ugly wins are still wins. It's unfortunate that it's associated with us and with those numbers, but, like, there's a lot of teams out there that are 2-2, 1-3, with some better numbers, better stats, that wish they were 4-0.
That's us. That's the Saints.
Well, and that's exactly what I was going to say, because it's almost, and it's like the belief, not only of the head coach, but it starts with the quarterback that, hey, he's going to give us a chance to be in this game. We've just got to believe that we're in the game when that situation comes about.
Yeah, you know what? It's also the mindset of we're never out of the game. So it's both, like, we're in the game, but then there's a concept of, hey, we're never out of the game. And if you look at this Chiefs run, the two-time Super Bowl champs back-to-back, look at the games last year. Look at the games this year, being in Atlanta and having to make a stop of them driving the ball down the field, being a toenail away from a loss against the Ravens on opening night, the Cincinnati Bengals having to come back and hold them down as much as we did. Like, it's not just about finding a way to win, but always feeling like, okay, guys, like, let's go ahead and win this one. Like, if they're going to let us win it, we're going to go ahead and win it. And if you look at the course of this season and even into last year, the playoffs, Super Bowl, et cetera, down by double digits, making magic happen, it's just a knack for this team. And if you look at the sideline, like I've always said, you can tell a lot about what people believe or what other teams think about the coach that you have by the post-game handshake. Like Andy Reid, you can tell, like, we had Todd Haley. We had other coaches here that weren't necessarily in high regard around the league, and you'd always had some friction with another team, but never the case with Andy Reid. You never see that. But one other thing you never see is on the sideline, you don't see people freaking out. Like, you don't see anybody, like, getting outside of themselves. Yeah, there's some competitive juices that flow with Travis Kelce, sometimes Patrick Mahomes. But in close games, what you see is just a team that's like, all right, guys, I'm going to look around left and right. Let's go ahead and win this one. Whatever way we got to do it, we got to do it. And there's even Tyron. I'm sure Tyron can say something about that. Willie Gay Jr., Colin. I mean, the guys that have played it with this organization, it's something special to witness the calmness of the sideline and the focus that they keep when other teams seem to maybe get outside themselves.
Well, I got to ask you, offensively, being down a couple receivers and, you know, not having your starting running back and all of that pressure going to Mahomes and Kelce and just how they've been able to handle it, or you look at it, how do you generate offense? You know, just because you know kind of where the bracket is going to go and some other guys having to have to step up.
Yeah, I just think that there's confidence throughout this roster, and depth is something that, you know, a lot of teams are desperate for, but it always seems like we have figured out how to assemble a roster under Brett Veach and Andy Reid over the course of, you know, these last 7 years since Patrick has been here, and even beyond that when Alex Smith was the quarterback. There always just seems to be the guys that are waiting in the wings that, although they may not be able to put eye-popping numbers, they make plays when it's necessary. And when you look at our team, Xavier Worthy coming in as a rookie, Mecole Hardman making his second time around here in Kansas City, guys like, you know, that are just dependable guys in the running back room. I mean, how huge is it for us to get Kareem Hunt back and him to get back in good graces here in Kansas City and then be able to contribute the way he did in his first game of the season, first action of the season last week. So, like, it's just next man up mentality. They don't really change a lot that goes on. Now, this week is going to be interesting because, you know, obviously we'll go into the game without Rashee Rice. You know, we won't know who's going to be the guy and who's going to step up and take that role on. And if Xavier Worthy is ready for more food on his plate, so to speak. And because I believe, you know, that 4.21 speed, as Deuce, you know, 4.21 speed, you probably can get that at 20 plays a game. You start putting 40 plays, 45, 50 plays a game on a wide receiver, that we'll see how that 4.21 translates. I mean, to me, with that speed, you don't want him to be out there winded and playing at a 4.5 clip. That's the speed that we drafted. That's why you got to kind of spoon feed him into the offense so he's always that threat to make a big play like he did last week. So somebody's got to step up. Patrick Mahomes has always been a guy that has moved the ball around, shown that he's comfortable with receivers out there. He's not like Tom Brady and the other quarterbacks that we've seen in the past that will ice a guy out because he ran the wrong route. Patrick will go right back to him. And I think that's something as a former wide receiver that I would love to be a part of, is to know that as long as I'm on the field, there's some magic that I could be a part of, as long as I'm doing the right thing. So it's next man up mentality.
And so we're still waiting. Obviously, Mecole Hardman, who was limited yesterday, did not practice today.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a position, you know, they're still – it's just Friday. But you know, I guess by his standards, it's been a slow start for Kelce. But I don't – that doesn't mean a whole lot to me, because it just takes one, right? It just took that deep pass against the Chargers. And it doesn't – he don't have to catch 10 passes. If he catches 4 passes and 2 of them are touchdowns, he's done his job.
Absolutely. I think he's really shown his maturity and, you know, obviously showing some frustration, but there's only but so much frustration you can show when you're still winning football games. As a competitor, you want to be a part of everything, even the wins, even if you're winning. But Kelce has shown, like last week, there's been a couple of times where he's caught passes, deep passes, that probably would have reignited him during any of these 4 games that were called back because of penalty. And, you know, he's been able to kind of go with the flow, but he also knows it's a long season. He's been an iron man for this organization. And as you mentioned, there can be a 10-catch, 120-yard game or multiple games like that that have put him right back on schedule with his production that he expects every single year. He's just under 1,000 yards last year. Could have gotten it if we would have opted to play him in Game 17 last year. But we didn't need to, and he was mature enough to sit on the sideline and know that we had the playoffs and ultimate Super Bowl that was ahead of us, so there was really, really no reason to be chasing numbers. I don't see him changing from that this year. He's not going to go out there chase numbers. He just wants to be a part of winning.
From the aspect of, obviously, me and Mike, where we were talking about it off air, you know, Casey has played and will play in a ton of primetime games. But with it being Monday night, will there be any additional maybe gas or heat, you know, from the fans, from the players, that it's a highlight opportunity? I mean, it's a showcase game. They're the only game on television. So I want to go out there and put a show on.
Yeah, I'm sure there is, but it's kind of been par for the course. And I don't want to sound like pompous or we're arrogant right now, but we opened the season the last 2 years on Thursday Night Football because we won the Super Bowl. We've played primetime game already in Atlanta. This is another one. The other big thing is that the Royals are playing in the postseason that same night against the New York Yankees. We'll be here in Kansas City. They'll be in New York. That first pitch is an hour before our game. So tailgating, the entire day is a festivity for all the Chiefs fans and the Chiefs kingdom, but you're going to have that extra juice that people are going to be like building up to the Royals game, then coming over to Arrowhead Stadium and watching the Chiefs. And I'm sure they're going to have cut-ins on the Jumbotron at Arrowhead Stadium of the Royals, and they're playing, and hopefully they're winning. So it's a huge weekend for everybody here in the Chiefs kingdom between the Kansas City Royals and the Chiefs. But Monday Night Football is still king. You know as well as I do, Deuce, when the schedule used to come out, I don't know if you did it in this order, but it was like, okay, where's the bye week? How many primetime games we got? Who are we playing on Monday Night Football? And are we playing at home? And that's how you kind of looked at the schedule back in April when it would come out. that's how these guys are, but they're used to being on center stage now. We've been down this road.
And I would say, because you weren't being pompous, you guys earned it, right? You didn't get that for...
It's just the truth.
It wasn't a gift, yeah. Right? You opened up on Thursday. You had a Sunday. You're playing us on Monday. You play Tampa on Monday. You have a Friday night game. You have a Sunday night game after that. And the rest of them, a couple of three, you know, are 3:25 games. It's a, when you guys play noon, that's when it's a news story. When you play a noon game,
yeah.
Right?
Well, we play every day of the week this season except for Tuesday. We play on a Wednesday, which is Christmas. And Tuesday we travel. For that Wednesday game at Pittsburgh. So, like, this is a uncharacteristic season in regards to the Chiefs and their game schedule. We'll play every day of the week, which I don't think that's ever been the case that I can remember, except for Tuesday, and that's a day that we'll actually travel. So, talking about, you know, the Chiefs and almost being a seven-day type of party throughout this season, that's what's going to make it a fun season.
The last thing that I have, I'm just curious because you've not probably played your A game. I'm taking a Tiger Woods line, but you know you're still 4-0, and you look at the Saints team, and you know who have dominated. There are a lot of charts and stats, but who gives a crud when you're 2-2? I'm just wondering, from your perspective and the Chiefs' perspective, what is it about this Saints team that would worry you?
So I will tell you this, what was the most impressive, I know that the last two losses have been troubling and maybe have opened up the door for some doubts in regards to the Saints, their capabilities, and maybe the fan base worrying or what have you, losing two close games like they did. But to me, what stands out is the way they won the first two. And it wasn't so much that I was surprised about their defense because, you know, pretty much since Cam Jordan has been there, you guys have been pretty solid on defense for several years now. What was surprising and eye-opening was the offensive numbers that you guys were putting up. Right now, you guys are averaging 31.8 points per game. That's first in the NFL. You're top 10 in net yards per game. Top 10 or top 5 in multiple categories offensively. So, like, I think that's probably been an eye-opener to a lot of Saints competitors or competition coming into this season, and obviously it's the same for the Chiefs this week. It's not so much about the 2-2 record because it really was just about one or two possessions that got you guys from being 4-0 to 2-2. The points that you guys putting up offensively should be concerning to anybody that you guys will face this season. And I'm sure that Steve Spagnuolo and this defense for the Chiefs definitely recognize the firepower that you guys can put forth.
Well, we hope that we do see a little bit of that game 1-2. We haven't seen much in the last 2 weeks, but they've also still been in position to win the football game. It's going to be a glorious day Monday at Arrowhead. 70 degrees is going to be the high, be down into the 50s in the evening. So looking forward to it. Really appreciate your time on a Friday evening to spend some time with us. Danny Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, now the color analyst for KC Radio.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend.
Great.
Thank you too.
We'll talk to you on Monday. Take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. Got about 20 more minutes left in today's show before it's the kickoff with Boomer and Valenti. Valenti, I should say. And we'll be back after this here on Fans in the Pro, WWLAMFM.com. Always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister here. As we wrap up Fans in the Pro up until 6 o'clock on this Friday, don't forget, thanks to all the good folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our sports team crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. That's magazinepizza.com. And hopefully the weather will slack off. It looks like it has. Tonight is Gleason Graw, the 12th Gleason Graw. It's at Generations Hall. Go to gleasongraw.org to get any information. Hopefully they got some tickets left, but man, it's such an uplifting thing to 12 years of what that man has given back and, you know, so much. And glad to see that's tonight. And
yeah, I think the patrons party starts at 7 o'clock.
Right,
7 to 8, and then the regular Gleason Glaw regular tickets is from 8 to 11 at Generations Hall. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, I think it's business casual, or you know, of course they'll accept you as you are, just like at the church, come as you are.
That's right.
But 12 years, fantastic job that Steve and his foundation. What they've been able to do, and man, definitely if you can get out, go out and support it.
I had talked to him prior to his diagnosis, and it was a story about him being just this kind of, you know, journeyman, probably wouldn't be on many NFL teams, but he's had that kind of desire and guts for a special team. This is before everything, right? I mean, we were walking up and down the canal. It's right around mid-city.
Long flowing locks. Hot locks, and it's just like, you know, I don't know if he's an outside linebacker. I don't know if he's a safety. You know, but I know one thing you're going to get from him. Steve is going to give you 100% everything that he had out on that field. And that's how he was able to carve out the special teams deal. And you're talking about when the rules were not in favor of a player, particularly on kickoff. And Steve would be the wedge buster. Every time he's running down, he is outman, outweighed. He's taking on three guys, and he is busting the wedge. And together – he's probably outweighed by 450 pounds. One guy alone probably weighed at least 275. Steve may have been 180, soaking wet.
You can't anoint special teams players.
No.
You can't just say, you're special teams. You got JT Gray, DeMarco Jackson, Andrew Dow.
It starts with some want to.
Right. That's what I mean.
It starts with some want to, and everybody don't want to.
Right.
And that's just being
Nephi
honest.
Sewell.
Yeah, it starts with some want to, and it's not easy.
Now,
and so when you can do that, most people may not respect you, but I can guarantee you, the guys on your team, they respect you, particularly when you were taking on the wedge, and they outlawed that.
Dan, and ask you, because it means so little to me, talking about Xavier Worthy in a 4-2-1.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. That doesn't.
No.
You know what I mean?
No,
that doesn't mean anything.
Did he say 4-2-1 or 4-1?
He said. I wrote down 4-2-1, but that doesn't mean anything.
Fast.
I mean, I can't even. That's hard to imagine.
That is the fastest. I mean, that is fast, fast. Now he young man that played at Texas, he can fly.
Yeah.
You got to get your hands on him. You know, because
they love to jet sweep him too.
Well, that's why.
Yeah.
And so if I get jet sweep, I want to get more to my hands on him, because if I can catch him before he gets going, you just want to get him the ball, because he is so fast, he's so explosive, but he's light. And that's why I say you got to get your hands on him, because you can knock him off. And then that's the other part that he spoke about. If they can limit him to 20 plays, then he is going to be able to hit pretty fast every time. With losing Rice and some other guys, I don't know if he can get the top speed enough. And that's where I can beat him up a little bit. And he's not going to get looks every play. But there's not many plays where I'm going to say, hey, look, Xavier or Worthy, I'm going to just let you have free access and let you be able to blow by me. Now, I want to get my hands on you, and I got to know that my safety's got to be over the top.
And it's amazing. We'll have to wait and see, because they got another receiver hurt. They still have Juju.
You got Juju.
And you got Jalen, I believe, Watson.
None of them scare me like Worthy.
No, yeah, good gosh. So anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back, get our final thoughts here as we work our way to 6 o'clock. Saints in Kansas City, 2-2 versus 4-0. Then the Saints come home for 2, right? This game can kind of set the stage. You go up and steal one against the AFC, come back, you're 3-2 with 2 home games, one of them being Tampa, one of them being Sean. Who knows? We'll talk about that on the next side of the break. This is Fans in a Pro. Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister, back after this. WWLAMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. We're just the final few minutes here before 6 o'clock. Deuce has a high school game to get to. I have a tea time. What, Mike? You have a tea time? I will be at the upper deck at Caesars Superdome. I'll be working. And so I'm interested to see. I just got to see it. I watched Tiger Woods hit a ball off of an ice rink here back in 2000. I got to see it.
So I got a question.
Because I did invite you, by the way.
Let's I know it, and I apologize that I can't make. No. But will you have your own clubs?
My clubs are sitting in my office now. It was the most embarrassing thing I've ever had to do, was to haul my golf clubs into my office.
I would not have been embarrassed.
I mean, it just didn't look right.
It doesn't look right. It's not right.
I have a briefcase, but they got upper deck at the Superdome today and tomorrow. So, you know, I'll have some pictures and some video of the good stuff. If I shank it into the stands, you ain't going to see it.
Nah, and so they probably have nets and everything up, and you know, a crew will come and kind of clean up if some golf balls. Are they true golf balls or are they the Nerf balls?
They're their golf ball. You bring your own club, but I think you use their golf balls. For whatever, because to me, the hardest part is when they land, you're hitting way high. Green is the turf, but there's like circles. But that's concrete under there, right? It's not the I don't know. I've not seen it. Just I've seen the course, so to speak.
Well, I do apologize that I cannot make it, but it should be a ton of fun and a lot of festivals. We talked about Gleason Graw.
Yep.
I think Fried Chicken Festival.
Ooh.
Is this weekend as well?
I can't do fried chicken unless I'm alone in a dark room.
No, you can do it. You just don't want everybody else to see you do
it. I mean, but it's got to be alone in a dark room.
It has grown to a fried chicken festival, and I didn't notice, has grown to a must-do.
Yeah.
Must-do event in New Orleans. And so what I was always frustrated about it, knowing about it the last couple of years, they normally have it when we aren't in town.
Right.
We normally are not in town when they have the festival, so hopefully the weather holds up and – you know, we know that one of the reasons we got some of the rain is because of the system that's down in the Gulf.
Right.
And I don't think that we're going to
– I don't think it's going to materialize.
Yeah, affect us. And if it does, it's probably sending rain over to Florida.
Right.
So.
But we know Kansas City is going to be fine, outdoor, natural grass, 70 degrees during the day, 51 at night. Man, it's going to be good football weather.
A bunch of barbecue.
Yeah. I got to get it. It took me like 2 weeks to get, where were we? The sausage, the hot dog in Green Bay.
Uh-huh.
The not worse, right? It took me to forever. The brats.
Whatever they call it.
I couldn't do it. So I'm going to get me some barbecue early on Monday. Saints, get a victory. Don't fall into this trap. The Chiefs could be 0-4 or whatever. They're 4-0. They're the two-time defending champ. You go, as Deuce says, and punch them in the mouth. Right?
Did I say that?
Well, you said it for Dallas. I'm just.
Oh no! You punched him in the mouth.
But don't do that. What do you do? Elbow this team? You got to do something.
Yeah, you elbow him.
Elbow him. All right. Thanks for listening, fans of the pro, everybody. Boomer and Valenti coming up next, and of course, it's the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Charlie Long in the booth as well.